Hello, everyone. This is John Doe. I've been a guest on NT's podcast before a few times, but this will be my first time doing it all by myself. And since this may turn into a weekly thing, I thought I should start by maybe talking about my least favorite subject, and that's myself. I have a Twitter account, which is why I'm here. The Twitter account handle is JohnDoe78359022. Although I think if you go to Twitter and you just type in the Twitter search bar John Doe, I'm the first one that comes up, so that's also another easy way to get to my account. My profile pic is a picture of Charlize Theron and Leonardo DiCaprio, a black and white one from the late 90s. And yeah, that's how you get to my Twitter account. But I started it in 2017 in September. I really just wanted a way to follow the news. I thought it was a better way than Google News, which was kind of how I was getting my news before then. And I just thought Twitter was more of a direct line into finding articles and things that I was interested in. The next month in October is when the first stories about Harvey Weinstein came out. And that's when Me Too got kickstarted and Hollywood really got engulfed in this whole sexual abuse, sexual harassment thing that really continues to have a massive impact on Hollywood and how it works. But my involvement, I guess, came in either late December or early January of 2018. There's a site called Pop Bitch, I think is the name of it, and they just had this very brief kind of vague item about Matthew Morrison hosting parties for Bryan Singer. And it kind of implied there, I forget if it implied there were underage people just because they mentioned Bryan Singer, or if they actually came out and said, you know, he didn't check IDs at the door or something. But that piqued my interest because I had been a fan of Crazy Days and Nights probably for about 10 years at that point. I think it started in late 2006, and I probably discovered it maybe 6 months later, sometime in 2007. But I had never heard... I'd never remembered reading anything on Crazy Days and Nights about Matthew Morrison. So I decided to go through and look through Google and AGC and all those places, and I decided to look for all the potential blind items that were about Matthew Morrison, and I was shocked to find that there were actually a whole lot. And so I decided to kind of just on a whim, I just started putting them all in a thread. And there were quite a few, and they kind of connected to everybody from Bryan Singer, allegedly, then maybe the record mogul, who I'm not sure if I want to name. But if you follow me on Twitter, or if you've listened to Enti, you probably know who I'm talking about. I guess I can say that there's a picture of Jane Lynch, Matthew Morrison, and David Geffen out there, which I posted at the time. But yeah, so after I did that thread, at some point it got retweeted by An Open Secret and Enti, and everything kind of has just taken off from there. I do threads on celebrities, and I kind of go through the old blind items over the years, and I just put all the blind items that I think are about the celebrity in one thread, and it's interesting because I think it definitely paints a different picture of them than what gets portrayed in the supermarket tabloids or in Vogue or wherever it is they get the glowing press, all the glowing press that they get. So that's me. That's how I got here, and then yeah, I guess Enti just liked my threads, and he asked me on his podcast, and I guess now I'm here. So, yeah, like I said, I think this will be a weekly thing. I don't think it'll take away from the amount of podcasts that Enti does. Hopefully this will just be an enjoyable addition. So, yeah. The next thing I wanted to talk about It's something I probably should talk more about on my Twitter feed, or I should do on my Twitter, should have done on my Twitter feed probably a long time ago. But I never have. I don't want to sound condescending, but I think since it's my first time doing this solo podcast, I just think a good way to start off is just to go over something very basic, which is kind of how to read the blinds and how to look at gossip, or at least how I look at gossip. And I thought it was a good idea because I actually did have somebody recently say on my, leave a comment on one of my tweets, and it said that Enty said that Charlie Sheen had raped Corey Haim. And for the Corey Haim, I guess he's probably, he was famous before some of our listeners' times. But he was a very famous child actor. He was probably one of the most famous child actors of his time, along with maybe Drew Barrymore and the person who the press wanted to portray as his best friend, a man named Corey Feldman, who was also a child actor at the time. And because his name was Corey and Corey Haim's name was Corey, the press dubbed them the two Coreys, and they pretended like they were best friends, even though apparently they were really never as close as the media portrayed. But yeah, so I don't want to get into the whole Corey Feldman, Corey Haim, Charlie Sheen thing. It's very convoluted. There's a lot of people involved, and it's a lot of he said, she said type of thing, and it's very hard to get to the bottom of what's true and what's not. But this idea that Enty said that Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim, I don't think that's necessarily true, even though that's something that gets brought up every once in a while. I mean, I've heard that a lot. I forget why, but it came up maybe 6 or 7 months ago, and I heard that a lot. But it's not exactly true. And if you go to the blind item that everybody would say says, that Enty says, Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim, it ran on December 9th, 2015. And it says this. Excuse me. This former child/teen actor turned Hugh Hefner wannabe/cautionary tale says that this in-the-news former A-plus-list mostly television actor raped the best friend of our former teen actor when the two starred in the movie together. And in January of 2016, I guess just the next month, Enty revealed it to be about Corey Feldman saying that Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim when Charlie and Corey Haim made a movie called Lucas, which was also, I think, one of the first movies Winona Ryder was ever in. So when you actually read the blind, it's not Enty saying Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim. It's saying Corey Feldman said Charlie Sheen raped Corey Haim. And that's a very different thing because I think we all trust Enty. But I don't think any of us trust Corey Feldman as far as we can throw him. I mean, I think we're all still waiting for that $10 million documentary to come out, which I don't think we'll ever see. There's also a lot of other questions just about his character and some of the things he's done and the people he's hung out with. But the reason I think I picked this one out is just because, like I said, I still get people saying, oh, Enty says this, Enty says that, but then when you actually kind of look under the hood of the blind, it's not exactly that cut and dry a lot of the times. And yes, sometimes there are things that Enty saw or that Enty had a source who saw or multiple source who saw something, and that's different. But especially when you're dealing with these kind of historical, older allegations, I think it's really important to because I do this sometimes where I will kind of rush through a blind maybe, or I don't read it close enough and I'll screw something up, and I hate spreading fake news. I hate getting it wrong. But yeah, I just thought it's good to take a close look anytime you're reading things like blind items or gossip or even any news. It's always good to just think about where it's coming from, who's saying it, who the source is, and not just to kind of accept it at face value. Always be kind of skeptical of everything. That's always what I say. But yeah, so that was my little spiel about reading, and sorry if that was condescending. I didn't mean for that to sound condescending or anything. I just Yeah, I just wanted to start off with something a little basic. And now I'll move on, I guess, to what I think will be the main topic of the podcast tonight, and that is Leonardo DiCaprio. I said I was going to do a thread on Leo months ago, probably in October or November, and I never got around to doing it. One of the reasons I didn't get around to doing it was just because the last 2 months of 2018 were just very busy for me, and I just didn't have the time, really. But the other reason is that my Twitter account basically focuses on the worst of Hollywood. It focuses on the darkest sides of Hollywood. People, you know, the murderers and rapists and abusers and that sort of thing. And then occasionally, you know, I just can't. I can't only tweet about that. It gets very heavy. It gets very difficult. So I do also sometimes post about the Kardashians or Ariana Grande or Demi Lovato. I find them interesting also for some reason, just that generation of Hollywood. And I also just find the people who are ultra famous, I just find I enjoy posting about sometimes. But the reason I think I didn't post about Leonardo DiCaprio or post this thread is because really there's nothing terrible in it. I always get pushback whenever I post about anybody who's basically not like a pedophile. I always get somebody posting like, oh, who cares? Or, oh, does this person a pedophile? Or how does this connect to the pedo ring? And I appreciate the enthusiasm, I guess. But sometimes I think to myself, I feel like if they're not, like, terrible people, then I don't want to, like, drag them too bad, maybe. But yeah, I thought since I needed something to talk about for my first podcast, I should finally get around to doing that Leonardo DiCaprio thread that I always promise. So, yeah, I'll get started on that. The first one is from the first Leo one that I found. It's not revealed, but I do think Enti actually talked about it on one of his Long Blind podcasts, so I'm not going to go through it too much. Basically, it just says that Leo enjoys getting dressed up and going out in public in secret. It says he gets dressed up as everything from, you know, like a 70s porn star to... what does it say? Well, that's the one. It just talks about how Leo, I think, just really enjoys getting into these characters, even when he's offset. And it's from, like I said, it's from Monday, March 24th, 2008, and it's called You Can Call Me Hans, and it's about Enti going. And this is one of the blinds I think Enti actually has. It's one of Enti's experiences. He apparently has known Leo since before Titanic, which is something that... one of the hymns said on Twitter that Enti's known Leo for a long time. But yeah, so that's the first one. And then, like I said, I'm going to skip it because I do think Enti talked about it. If not, I apologize. But all right, the next one I'm going to read is not an Enti blind. It's actually from Lainey Gossip. And again, it's not revealed, so I can't say for 100% certainty that it is Leonardo DiCaprio, but I'm going to read it, and you'll see why I think it's him. And it's from October 6th, 2008. Again, this is Lainey Gossip. Caution, right off the top. If you're the prudy type, some details here are not for you. Click away or hold your peace. Don't be emailing me with a lewd complaint since you were given ample warning. Celebrities are surrounded all the time by beautiful women, especially him. He boasts an impressive track record, minus one infection. And so you would think for a regular, non-famous girl, even a really, really beautiful non-famous girl, it would be an insurmountable obstacle to catch his eye, right? Not so. But just because it's easy to attract him doesn't mean it's easy to pleasure him. Turns out his libido doesn't quite match up to the legend. And his prowess isn't exactly the smoothest either. So disappointing. She and her girlfriends found him at a club in Vegas recently. Danced in front of his booth and eventually caught his eye. He sent over the bodyguard, they were invited to join, and soon everyone ended up in his suite, even though he's supposed to have a sexy steady. On this night, however, he was playing single. First, he asked his evening's target to give him a massage. She obliged. Eventually, they ended up alone in his room. Making out turned to sex. He used a condom and went through the conventional motions. Highly unimaginative and even a little gross. Apparently, our superstar superstud releases the most unpleasant sound effects. Grunts and groans and straight up no rhythm pounding, making it clear that without a cinematographer and a world-class director, he isn't exactly the undercover lover boy we all believed he was. Like, no moves whatsoever. Needless to say, his lame technique wasn't getting him anywhere, so in relief, he asked her to fondle his boys instead. By boys, I mean balls. A gorgeous, willing girl in his bed, game for anything, and in the end, he could only finish in his own hand in front of her. Too much champagne, I guess. Huh. And, yeah, so this is, I think it's about Leo, and you'll kind of see later on why. I think there might be some other blinds in there, that tell a similar story. The next blind is from 2010, October 1st, and this one is from Crazy Days and Nights, and it says, and this was revealed, so I'll just insert his name. It says Leonardo DiCaprio was on the house phone in a hotel lobby when he was spotted by a fan. The fan waited patiently until the actor was done with the call, and as the two crossed paths, the fan asked for a picture. The actor did not even acknowledge the presence of the fan and just walked right by. So apparently he's not always the most fan-friendly of actors. All right, this blind item is from September 10th, 2012, and it was revealed on January 1st, 2013. Bar Raffaele split with Leonardo DiCaprio, not because of his wandering eye, but because they could go nowhere without family members coming with them. It got to be too much for her, and she gave him an ultimatum. Obviously, he chose the family, although that has since changed to some degree in his newest relationship, because she told him she wouldn't date him unless he changed. And I think this is referring to Leo's mother. The very first podcast I did with NT, we talked about Leo a little bit, and we talked about how he just has a very close relationship with his mother to the point where it's a little weird. She goes everywhere with him. They go on trips, she goes on the trips, she goes to dinners with him and the girlfriends, and apparently it's just a little too close for most women to be comfortable with. All right, the next few blinds, I think, are about Leo and Miranda Kerr. And this kind of relationship, this relationship sort of started to get attention in late 2012. Miranda was still married to Orlando Bloom at the time, but by all accounts, their marriage was on the rocks and they would get divorced. I'm not exactly sure when. It may have been months, it may have been a year, but they got divorced pretty quickly after all this. But blind item number one from December 23rd, 2012, and this one is unrevealed, but it says, this A-plus list all-movie actor was getting hot and heavy with the model when she reminded our actor that she has a child. He told her that if she was serious about them as a couple, that she would just give custody to the dad because he does not want kids in his life. She is thinking about it. Idiot. And this one's not revealed, but I have a tough time believing it's about anybody other than Leo and Miranda Kerr. excuse me. What's interesting about this, I guess, is Miranda at some point was also dating the Malaysian financier Jay Ho Lo, who would finance Wolf of Wall Street, and he gave Leo millions of dollars worth of gifts, like the 1950s Oscar that Marlon Brando won for On the Waterfront, and then eventually Leo would have to give that back to the feds because this guy, Jay Ho Lo, ended up, he was actually stealing billions of dollars from the Malaysian government. But yeah, apparently he was also hooking up with Miranda Kerr at some point. I think it might have been around this time, or maybe it was before all this. But yeah, I do think that's a little weird. All right, this blind item is from December 24th, 2012, and it was revealed. And it says that Miranda Kerr posted a sexy photo and that apparently Leonardo DiCaprio is the one who took it, and she was still with Orlando at the time, so I guess that was pretty scandalous. Oh, I just came across... Oh, now I've got pictures of Leo and Jonah Hill partying on a yacht from December 30th, 2012. It just says Jonah Hill and Leo DiCaprio partying. I don't think this is a blind. When I do my research, I kind of take everything I find off the site. And Jonah just looks terrible. That's just like, he is out of his league in these pictures. All right, this blind was from a month later, January 30th, 2013, and it was revealed in August of 2013. So just when Miranda Kerr thought she was getting her life back on track and everything was all made up with her significant other, Leonardo DiCaprio started texting her and calling her and telling her how much he missed her and wanted to get back together with her, and that everything was really, and that he was really ready to settle down. Our model was ready to believe him again, and ruin everything that she had put back together when she decided to tell another model friend about it, who said that she had received the same text from Leo and that Leo was talking to 4 or 5 women who had also responded to his plea. I can't believe she thought she was the only one. She really is not the smartest. All right, this is a blind item from 2013, April 29th, but this one is from a site called Blind Gossip. They just run blind items. I don't really read them all that much, but I did find this, and I thought it was interesting, so I thought I'd read it. And it says, many people think that this celebrity is gay. Let us set you straight on this. He is not gay. He is actually bisexual. Sort of. Yes, it's complicated. In public, he only dates beautiful women. Although he is nice to them, spends time with them, and spends money on them, he rarely has sex with them. And then there are only 2 rules. He can see any man he wants on the side, but she is allowed to date only him. And, after the relationship is over, she had better keep quiet. He has sex with both men and women, but it's not frequent or intense or especially satisfying, and it's never as part of a long-term committed relationship. The women he dates aren't even sure of their role. They are not sure if they are his beard, his pal, his prop, or his real girlfriend. His exes all describe him the same way. He is not, quote, he is not totally gay, but we only had sex a couple of times. It's not even like he is bisexual. It is more like he is asexual, unquote. Even more interesting is the way that 2 past girlfriends described what it was like having sex with him. One said that he was, quote, bunny fast, unquote. Another described it as, quote, like being poked with an annoying rubber pencil, unquote. Oof. With ringing endorsements like that, why do women date him or stay with him? He's good looking, and famous, and very rich, and very connected. Too bad that last trait hasn't helped too many of them progress further in the industry. So in conclusion, he's either gay or straight or bisexual or asexual. Oh, thanks. That really helps clear things up. The women he dates are either his beards, his pals, his props, or his real girlfriends. That clears things right up. No, it doesn't clear things up. Thanks, Blind Gossip. But I do think that's interesting because it kind of fits into some of the other blind items earlier, both from Enti and from Lainey, that this is... There's... And if you look at the guesses, I got this from AGC, and it's not revealed, but they have as their guesses Leonardo DiCaprio, George Clooney, Bradley Cooper, or Ryan Seacrest. I don't think that it's Bradley Cooper. I'll say that much. I think George is an interesting guess. I think if you look at George's relationships before Amal, none of them were really able to capitalize on the fame or anything that it brought them to... they weren't really able to use the relationship to kind of get to the next level like I think a lot of them were hoping. And I think the same with Leonardo DiCaprio. I guess he dated Giselle for a while, but she was famous on her own. And I guess Bar Raffaelli is kind of famous also. But again, she's famous on her own. None of the everybody else he dated is famous for being his date and pretty much nothing else. But yeah, like I said, that might not be about him, but I kind of think it is. All right, this blind is, we're back to Crazy Days and Nights blinds, and this one is from May 8th, 2013, and it was revealed in December of 2013. So it says, Leonardo DiCaprio was on the receiving end of attention from a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model, not named Kate Upton. The model, who was wearing a top that was kept closed by one simple button at the bottom, told Leo that she had worn the top just for him and invited him to reach inside and see if he liked what she had to offer. He took her up on the touching, but that was about it, and moved on with his friends like what had happened was a normal occurrence. And I bet it is for him. I mean, it's Leonardo DiCaprio. This isn't a blind, but this was... NT used to have more kind of news sites in addition to blind items, just kind of, you know, little... and this is from May 22nd, 2013, and the headline is Leonardo DiCaprio gets turned down by Cara Delevingne. And I just thought it was interesting that somebody turned Leo down. And apparently it's because Leo was too old, which makes me feel old and made NT feel old as well. All right, on June 24th, 2013, NT has a blind. And it's a little long, so I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. But basically, and it was revealed in September of 2013, and it basically says that Cameron Diaz had a little bit of an obsession with Leonardo DiCaprio. Apparently, she took a job, like an endorsement job, just so she could see him once, twice a year, and just... She got very excited when she got to see him, but that was in 2013. I think that must have been before she got married. I hope so. Oh, this is good. Okay. This is from July 16th, 2013, and it was revealed that December. Ryan Reynolds has no idea that prior to the first date he had with his wife, Blake Lively, she had spent the night before with Leonardo DiCaprio. She was working where they were filming and was determined to keep at least one of the actors. She did. Good for her. All right, this next blind is from August 8th, 2013, and it was revealed May 20th, 2014. And it says Leonardo DiCaprio banished his current girlfriend from his vacation for one night because she refused to sleep with the host of the vacation. He allowed her to return after one night away, so I guess she changed her mind. This is what happens when you've been famous and rich for too long. You get carried away with seeing how far you can go. This used to be a nice guy. And then on August 27th, 2013, Andy had this blind, which he revealed in January of 2014. And it says, Leonardo DiCaprio got into a huge fight with his fairly new girlfriend and kicked her out of his hotel at around 2 a.m. Instead of calling an escort service, our actor went to a club in New York City and walked out with someone new about 30 minutes after he got there. Oh, Leo. All right, this is one of my favorite blinds about Leo. It's from December of 30th, 2013. And it says, a few weeks ago in New York City, Leonardo DiCaprio walked into a store with three of his friends. One of the friends is a former almost A-list actor who really has scrambled for roles the past couple of decades. Over the course of an hour, the four people went in and out of the store three times. At the end of their visits, the store was missing two jackets. One of the jackets cost $65,000, and the other jacket about half that amount. No one noticed the items were stolen until they showed up missing during an inventory check right before Christmas. The surveillance video was looked at, and on six separate cameras were our actor and his friends walking out of the store with the jackets. The owner of the store called our actor's people and sent them a copy of the video, which the owner also keeps on his phone and is happy to show anyone who buys him a drink. The actor's people said they were just random friends our actor met at a club. They are the same group of people he has been running with for years. Apparently, they have run this little scam before. Not so much to make money, but just to get a little rush. After some back and forth and a little warning about TMZ maybe getting the videos, our actor paid for the items. Leo. See, that's the other thing that happens when you get too rich and too famous. Leo's been handed things... For years now, he's just been having women come up to him and people giving him other people's Oscars and paintings. And I just think he, I mean, he must do these sorts of stupid stunts to get some sort of rut, just to do something wrong. I don't know. I feel like it's all, I don't think if he was just a normal actor, he would just be walking around stealing $65,000 jackets, but who knows? Maybe he was just born that way. Now, since that last blind item really talked about Leo and his friend, I'm going to use that, I think, as a segue into talking about one of my favorite celebrity articles ever written. It's called Leo, Prince of the City, and it ran in New York Magazine, and it's by Nancy Jo Sales. I don't see a date on this. I think it was the late 90s. I want to say 98 or 99. It talks about going with, or going to the premiere of The Man in the Iron Mask. I know that movie came out in 1998. And I do think it was written about there. But this is the article where Leo's group of friends first got the name The Pussy Posse. Or at least this is where the name came out in public, at least. Apparently that was a name that had been going around in private in Hollywood before then. Some of the members of this posse, they're all kind of old friends of Leo's. Some of them are famous on their own, like Tobey Maguire or Lucas Haas, who's a semi-well-known actor. But then there is also two people who are mentioned in this article. Harmony Korine, who Enty is certainly not a fan of. And if you read the blinds about him, they're kind of disturbing. If you've ever seen his film Spring Breakers with Selena Gomez and... I can't think who else is in it, but I remember Selena was in it. And... you know, just, I think you could probably tell just based on that movie that that's, he's not the type of person who has the most progressive views on women. But another person who is in this pussy posse that the article mentions is David Blaine, the famous magician. Now, David has actually been accused of rape before. During the Me Too, I don't know enough about the David Blaine accusations because I think they were actually around before Me Too came out, but I think they got new traction, or maybe more people came forward with accusations against him. But he was accused of rape, of raping a model in 2004. And it also says, just interestingly enough, at least I find this interesting, is an adjunct member of the pack is the heavy-haired Sarah Gilbert of Roseanne, who was starring in Poison Ivy when Leo was just guy number one in the script. If they're a new Rat Pack, she's the Shirley MacLaine figure, says a young actor who's hung out with the crowd in L.A. A lot of them have known each other a long time. They started out as child actors together. Leo actually, I think, had an uncredited appearance, maybe as an extra, or I think maybe he had a small speaking role in Roseanne early on in his career. And I just found that interesting, especially because some of the behavior that's detailed that I'll get into later on in this article. Because if you follow me for any length of time, you know I do like Roseanne, and I don't like the way she was treated, and I just don't like, I'll be honest, I just don't like Sarah Gilbert, so I'll take any chance to kind of take a dig at her. So the other, what this article talks about, really, is the entitled behavior that Leo and his friends kind of have shown since Leo got famous in Titanic, and how they kind of run around and think they own New York City and this, that, the other. But really the disturbing allegation kind of involves Elizabeth Berkeley, who was in Saved by the Bell and Showgirls, I guess that was the name of it. And according to her, she was at a party one night, and this is, again, according to the article, and Leo and a friend of his were at this party, and they basically decided that they liked her that night, so they wanted her to come over. But she had a live-in boyfriend at the time, and she says that the person they sent to kind of bring her to them, because that's how it works when you're famous, this person knew that, and that this person just basically didn't care and tried to get her to kind of get hooked up with Leo, even though, or actually I think it's Leo's friend who really seems to be the one who really wants Elizabeth, but because it's Leo's friend who wants it and nobody wants to piss off Leo, everybody just thinks that, you know, Elizabeth, I guess, should just go with Leo's friend just because that would be good for her career. Not offending Leo is better for her career than offending Leo. But she says no, and I do apologize. I wish I could read from the article, but my internet is being very slow right now, and I can't get to that particular section. But eventually she... So after she turns them down, she gets a call from them either the next day or a few days later, and they basically call her and they keep calling her and they say, come to dinner with us, you know, come hang out with us. And finally they get somebody else to call her and say, oh, come to have dinner with us, and they kind of trick her into going, but she brought her boyfriend with her. And when her and the boyfriend show up, I think it's at a hotel, Leo and his friends are pissed because they didn't want the boyfriend there. And so what happens is the boyfriend ends up getting into an argument with Leo's friend, and they basically end up taking it outside. And the article very strongly implies that Leo sucker punches this guy in the Adam's apple. It doesn't come out and say that. Nobody will say that, but it does say that somebody punches Elizabeth Berkeley's boyfriend, and as soon as Elizabeth Berkeley's boyfriend gets punched, all of a sudden it goes from this kind of, because he was supposed to be fighting Leo's friend, not Leo, but he kind of turned his back, I guess, and when he got attacked, everybody in the posse all of a sudden kind of protected Leo and was like, oh shit, we can't be doing this, and one security guard apparently, even before they kind of ran out after Elizabeth Berkeley's boyfriend, he heard Leo say, let's go kick this guy's ass, and they were just... there's just a lot of circumstantial evidence that seems like it was Leo who... And apparently he did real damage to his larynx to the point... And at the time when this was written, they were saying that they were taking the investigation seriously, although I have a feeling they never caught the guy, or they never were able to prove who punched him. But the story is just interesting looking at it from a post-Harvey Weinstein perspective, because it involves kind of a lot of the things that Harvey was accused of. You know, Harvey was accused of kind of using women or female executives to go out and kind of procure these females or these young actresses to meetings, to what were supposedly business meetings, and instead they were at like hotel rooms or places that weren't really appropriate for business meetings, and at these meetings Harvey would rape them or abuse them or harass them, or I think different people had different experiences, but and this article and this talking about Leo, it just features a lot of the same, I think it features a lot of the same things that really Harvey's accused of, and I just thought that was interesting, kind of that it was written so far, so much in advance of the whole Me Too thing. And so the last thing I wanted to point out about this article was at one point it talks about a woman named Vanessa Hayden who convinces at least one tabloid that Leo has fallen hard for her. It quotes one person who knows her as saying, Vanessa played the media really well. Now she's all dolled up and ladylike and shit, but she used to be this hard rock in leather and baggy jeans. She was a total gangster bitch. And then somebody else who knows her says, quote, she was an ill thug. She went out with this Latin king for like 3 years. And the reason I bring her up is because Vanessa Hayden would eventually go on to marry Donald Trump Jr. and have 4 or 5 children with him, I think. But they just got divorced last year. But yeah, so I thought that was funny that she was in here and that she's described like that. But yeah, so one more thing, I guess, about Leo's circle of friends. At one point in the late 90s, it included Dana Jichetto, I'm sorry, I don't know how to pronounce his last name. But he was a, quote, stockbroker to the stars, as his obituary describes him in The Hollywood Reporter. he was a money manager or something like that. Maybe a hedge fund guy, I don't know. But he managed money for his clients, who included Leonardo DiCaprio. But Leo was also one of his best friends. Now, Dana was convicted of misappropriating, which I think is a fancy word for stealing, between $5 and $10 million of his client's funds, and he was sentenced to 57 months in prison in the late 90s or early 2000s, right when he was partying with Leo and all that stuff. But again, that's another kind of shady figure that Leo finds himself around after Jay Ho Lo, the Malaysian financier who is now a fugitive, and he's been accused of stealing billions of dollars from Malaysian government, and apparently he used some of that money to buy Leonardo DiCaprio expensive things like Marlon Brando's former Oscar and paintings and things like that. But going back to Dana, what's interesting about Dana is that he was involved with the Digital Entertainment Network, which of course involves Mark Collins Rector and David Geffen and Brian Singer and lawsuits and allegations of child abuse or parties where there were child abuse. And I guess at this point I wanted to go even further back in Leo's life. I have to give this part of, I guess, the podcast. I think I need to give a lot of credit to a YouTuber named Jamie Deluxe, who put together a really good video and really interesting video on Leonardo DiCaprio and his time on a show called Growing Pains, which was kind of his big Hollywood breakthrough. He's been in the business since he was about, I think, 4 or 5 years old, but it was mostly commercials and just very small parts. But Growing Pains was already a really successful show, and he came on only for the last season, so it was kind of already on the downhill slide. But it was still pretty popular, and it was still considered definitely a big opportunity for him. Now, the problem with this show, I will start with the very top, the executive producer of the show. There were a few producers, executive producers, but one of them was a man named Stephen Marshall. And in 2010, he was sentenced to 90 months imprisonment, followed by supervised release for life for distribution of child pornography. And he was accused of not just having child porn, but engaging in horribly disgusting, evil chats about rape and child murder, and it was to the point where I think the minimum sentence for what he was convicted of was only five years, but the judge was so disgusted by the facts of the case that he ended up giving him 7 years. So that was his boss. That was Leonardo DiCaprio's boss on Growing Pains when he was only, I think, 14 or 15. I guess I should have looked that up, his exact age. But yeah, he was a teenager, and he was definitely underage when he was on that show. But the other issue is that when he was on that show, he was being... And I'm not sure if he was... There's kind of conflicting reports if he was managed by or if he was just his publicist. But he definitely had some sort of representation relationship with a man named Bob Villard. Bob Villard, if you've seen An Open Secret, he was featured on that in that documentary. So you know, if you don't know who he is, you know already it's not a good thing. But this is from the Los Angeles Times, January 8th, 2012. They had an article on child sexual abuse cases in Hollywood, and they say that and they said this. The Los Angeles Police Department had been monitoring child manager Bob Villard even before 1987, when he was among 9 people indicted by a federal grand jury in New Jersey on charges of transporting child pornography, according to published accounts. He was convicted, but upon appeal, the charges against him fell apart because prosecutors had been unable to produce the sexually explicit images at trial. Villard was again accused of child pornography in 2001 after searches of his home uncovered thousands of photographs of boys in skimpy bathing suits posed in sexually suggestive positions, police said. He pleaded no contest to a misdemeanor and was sentenced to 3 years of probation. Throughout this period, Villard touted his work with aspiring young actors, some of whom would later become major Hollywood stars. Among them, Tobey Maguire, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Danny Nucci. Villard boasted on a company website that as a manager, he had, quote, guided the careers of dozens of successful film and television actors, unquote. In 2005, Villard was back in court and pleaded no contest to the felony charge of committing a lewd act on a child. The victim was a 13-year-old boy who sought him out as an acting coach. Villard is serving an 8-year prison sentence. And I do think he would eventually get out because I saw an article that, I think actually it was from 2012 as well, that said that it had actually confronted him, Bob Villard, but he wouldn't answer their questions. So there we have, again, another convicted pedophile who was around Leo at a young age, and specifically during the growing pains era. Now, if you go to Jamie Deluxe's YouTube page, and the video is called, I think, Connect the Pedo Dots, or P-E-D-O-T-S, or it's a play on Connect the Dots and Connect the Pedos or something. And you spell his, Jamie is J-A-M-I-E, and then his last name, Deluxe, D-L-U-X, if you just type that into YouTube, it's the first thing that comes up, But in the video, he has very kind of I think it's some sort of behind the scenes or I think it might have been from E! True Hollywood Story. He credits, I think, actually an Open Secret for sending him the footage. So I think it may have originated with Gabe Hoffman or an Open Secret, perhaps. They may have found it. And it's Leo with a man named Brian Peck. And in the video, they are very kind of handsy and they are touching each other a lot. And if you didn't know anything about Brian Peck, it would be maybe a little bit weird just because Leo, again, is like a very young-looking teenager. And Brian Peck is a middle-aged man. I think he's 15 or 20 years older than Leo. But the problem is that Brian Peck, of course, would eventually go on to be convicted of sexually abusing at least one actor. I think he was only convicted of one. And this is from the Daily Mail, but it says, exclusive, pedophile X-Men actor convicted of sexually abusing Nickelodeon child star is still working with underage kids. Brian Peck served 16 months in prison after admitting 2 counts of abusing a Nickelodeon child actor. He was charged with 8 counts of sexual abuse, including abuse by anesthesia or controlled substance. He was in 2 X-Men movies and all 3 Living Dead movies and is now featured in controversial documentary on pedophile abuse in Hollywood. I think that's an Open Secret. Since release from prison, he has been dialogue coach, worked on Disney series, and played teacher and claims to be friend of Charlie Sheen. Only banned from direct contact with children, so he is able to work on children's series and on sets with underage actors. And I believe he was hired after he went to jail on The Suite Life of Zack and Cody, which had the Sprouse twins on at the time. Seems like a bad idea to hire a convicted child offender to work on your child TV show, but that's just me. And Brian, if you watch the footage, he's identified as Leo's stand-in. So Leo was, I did a tweet about it at the time. I said he was surrounded by pedophiles, and he was. I should make it clear, he's never said anything. He's never accused anybody of anything. He's never said that he's had a bad experience like that. So I guess I don't know. I tend to think he probably... Well, I will say that when, I think the last time I was on the podcast with Enti we talked about a letter that had been written about Brad Renfro. And in the letter, it said, hold on, I'm trying to bring it up. I'm sorry. Oh, here we go. It says, quote, "It is of note that David Geffen is also a friend of Leonardo DiCaprio, still to this day, who got his start on Growing Pains as a child actor. DiCaprio was probably a victim of powerful men as well, but would never come forward. He was also allegedly at many of these types of gatherings. Many of the men in the Atlantic article and the Queerty article from 2009 point out the presence of young boys who were to be simply fuckholes. Boys and young men were also hired for these events." So that was one person's analysis, and I can't really disagree with that. I guess I should say even if Leo was something happened, if Leo knew something, I don't think he would say anything. I think Leo is way too enmeshed in the world of private jets and being the king of the world and the free Oscars, I guess, that he gets Oscars, he even gets other people's Oscars. And from a public image perspective, he can be associated with all the bad people in the world, and he gets all the benefit and none of the consequences. I don't really blame him, I guess, for taking advantage of the situation. I think it's hard probably for him to have. I think it's been hard for him to make relationships, I'm sure. I think most people who he comes into contact with since Titanic want something from him or see him a certain way. But it's concerning. The behavior that was in the New York Magazine article is concerning. And even if he was abused, that doesn't give him an excuse to, as an adult, to keep on doing things. I mean, and again, none of the articles, nothing has said that Leo's ever abused anyone. Nobody's calling him Bryan Singer, of course. And that's one of the reasons, like I said, I didn't do a Twitter thread on him. But I just find it interesting, and I just feel like with Leo, we're not getting the full story. I think that's what it is, and that's why I find him interesting, I guess, is because I feel like there's something else there. I feel like I said, we're just not getting the full story. The other thing I guess I wanted to mention is, and something that Jamie goes into more in his video, is that if you get into Brian Peck has very seriously concerning connections all over Hollywood. I mean, if you're talking about, you know, Leo being one of the most connected people in the world when it comes to like finance or famous people, I don't know if anybody in Hollywood is connected to more alleged pedophiles, I guess, or people who've been accused of things or rumored to be horrible people than Brian Peck. I mean, this is a guy who, he was like an uncredited walk-on extra or something. I mean, and he's in X-Men, but somehow he's doing a commentary on the X-Men DVD with Bryan Singer, and that's because they're such good friends. He's also apparently possibly very close friends with Dan Schneider. There's another article from the LA Times. It's called Groomed to Be All That, which is a play, of course, on All That, which is being resuscitated by Nickelodeon or rebooted with Kenan Thompson. But it talks about how Dan Schneider and Brian Peck worked together on a comedy class for kids. And that's concerning. I mean, that, and I guess I just wish I had more answers for you. I guess that's what it comes down to. And I think one of the reasons I chose Leo to do today is because it sort of circles back around to what I said at the beginning, which is when you just kind of scratch the surface of Hollywood, just kind of all these things start to come out. And here I am a year later, over a year later, and I still don't have the answers. I still don't know if this is all just a coincidence or if there's something deeper, more sinister there. And that's kind of, I think, the ultimate goal of my Twitter account is to try to figure that out. And okay, I think that's just about it for today. I think I'm going to do one more thing. And that is end it with a random blind of the week. I have a lot of kind of blinds on a lot of people, and like I said, unless it's the worst of the worst, I don't really post it, but I thought this might be a good way to get these out there because of some of the ones I find interesting. And yeah, so this blind item, the random blind item of the week, it is from August 20th, 2013, and it was revealed on Saturday, January 11th, 2014. And it says, this A-list mostly movie actor, who would love to win an Academy Award after years and years of comedies before getting serious and quirky, was wasted on the set of his new movie the other day and was a disaster. He was yelling and swearing at everyone who crossed him, and he threw his drinks and coffee at others and refused to come out of his trailer and sat in there in his underwear all day, drinking from a bottle of booze. He is an angry, angry drunk. And that was revealed to be about Bill Murray. Which is too bad, because I think we all thought Bill Murray would be a happy drunk, and but apparently not so much. Anyway, I want to thank Jamie Deluxe and I guess An Open Secret for providing a lot of the information that I used. And of course, I want to thank Enti for letting me come and do this today, and of course, all the blind items. And most of all, I want to thank you for listening all the way through. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next week.